Hello, I'm Jennifer Evans with the Kaiser Daily Global Health Policy Report. Today we're joined by Bill Savedoff, a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development, who recently co-authored the book Anti-Corruption in the Health Sector: Strategies for Transparency and Accountability. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Now, you've studied corruption in the health sector extensively, so I'd like to ask you about recent media reports that drew attention to an internal audit revealing misuse of fund grant money in several countries, totaling $34 million. Can you help to put those numbers into context for us?
Sure. The report you're referring to was from the Global Fund Against AIDS, TB, and Malaria, which has disbursed about $13 billion. So if you just look at the $34 million in that context, it's less than 0.3% of the total that they've disbursed.
What concerns you most about these findings?
Well, what concerns me most is that we don't know if this is the tip of the iceberg or whether this is all the corruption with this fund. If those are the worst countries that they were starting with, then that's a very small amount in an overall program and isn't much concern. But if they had picked out the countries that they felt were the best and found this kind of problem, then it could represent something much more significant.
And now, are there things in the health sector particularly that make it susceptible to corruption?
Definitely. The health sector involves people in so many different ways and so many different places that there are all kinds of ways that money can be diverted. And it can be, whether it's in the purchasing of supplies, things that are very high value like pharmaceutical products, it can be people asking for bribes at a local health facility for something that shouldn't be charged, or in the case of aid programs like these ones, it can be reporting that you did a training program or reporting that you did some kind of a built something of health facility and then not actually doing it. So it's a sector that's very difficult to control because there's so many different people involved in so many different parts of the system.
The fund was quick to highlight its efforts, you know, to illuminate and weed out corruption as well as to recover any misused money. How well would you say the fund stacks up compared to other donor agencies as far as fighting corruption is concerned?
I think the Global Fund's sort of on a par with other agencies. What's interesting, though, is that it actually got set up with a different logic than other organizations. The World Bank, USAID, these kinds of agencies all try to control corruption by setting elaborate procurement rules and monitoring and auditing the paper trails and things like that. And when the Global Fund got set up, the idea was it was supposed to be much more flexible, and it was going to control corruption not by following the money so much where it was spent, but by making sure that the results came out of the programs. And where I think it's failed is more on the area of actually measuring the performance, the results, and the controls. And what this scandal is doing is it is forcing it to behave a lot more like the more traditional approaches to controlling corruption of these, monitoring these audit trails.
Right. And is there any risk to doing that, to switching its approach, do you think? I mean, you mentioned these differences.
Yeah, the biggest risk is that if there are programs that are working really well now because the money flows flexibly and quickly and efficiently to where it needs to go, and these kinds of controls start creating obstacles or paperwork that can't get filled out or something like that, then you may end up slowing down some of these programs, which, when they're effective, are quite important to people's health.
The fund recently introduced these additional measures to increase fraud detection, including doubling the budget of its inspector general and also the creation of this external panel to review its financial oversight procedures. Are there additional things that the fund could be doing to make sure its money isn't ending up in the wrong hands?
I think that this is what they're doing is the standard approach, and it's to be congratulated for doing those things. But as I mentioned earlier, I think that they really need to stay true to their original approach, which was to control corruption by making sure that results happen. You can't reduce these diseases or increase treatment without having spent the money on certain things. And so I think that the best thing they could do is to redouble their efforts to measure the outcomes and the outputs of their programs. You would clearly see, failures on those fronts if there was a lot of corruption in a country, and that's really where we want the money to go anyway.
What are some of the consequences of corruption in the health sector?
Well, the biggest problem with corruption in the health sector is that people don't get health services that they need, and it can lead to all kinds of illnesses or that don't get treated and deaths. I think the counterfeit drug example is one of the most frightening one, where antimalarials or antibiotics in Africa have been found to be substandard or just completely, compressed chalk, and then people who are expecting to be treated end up dying. But the other side of the corruption in the health sector is that I've found in the countries that I've gone to is that it really undermines confidence in the public sector if people don't have confidence that the money spent in the health sector is going to services. And that, to me, undermining confidence in the public sector is a political casualty of corruption in the health sector as well.
Several countries expressed interest in withholding or suspending support for the fund following the media reports. Are there ways to weed out corruption without scaring off the donors?
I'm not sure if there really is a way to weed out corruption without scaring off donors. There's a way to manage that process, and I think that they're doing a reasonable job of that, which is to show what they're doing to address it and beefing up their controls and so forth. But it's a kind of tragic dilemma that in some ways when there's an incentive not to disclose when there's corruption, donors are much happier when the money goes out the door and they can say it has had a big impact and there's no particular smell of scandal. And the terminology, the rhetoric of zero tolerance sort of creates this high hurdle that almost no agency can handle. I mean, just today, the U.S. government announced something like $225 million in false billings in Medicare, and that's a tiny amount of the billions and billions of dollars that Medicare spends on very good services for Americans, and we'd hope that that wouldn't undermine the entire national health system. The same things with donors. So the way these things play out politically and publicly requires this kind of response, and I expect that the next 10 years we're going to continue to have periods with different agencies, with Global Fund, with UN agencies, with the World Bank, where there'll be periods in which donors are going to sort of pull back because there's a scandal. Initiatives will be put in place to try to improve it and control of corruption, and then gradually the donors will come back in.
Do you think focusing on the outcomes, even in the face of corruption, would help?
I think so. I think that measuring actual results is one of the best tools for any NGO, foundation, agency to convince its donors to put in money. Because if you have a good measure of what you've accomplished, then you can say we've accomplished this even though 1% of our money we weren't able to account for, but we've made this big impact with the other 99%. And at the same time, as I sort of indicated earlier, by focusing and really independently and verifying and measuring the results, you're actually constraining the capacity for people implementing the programs to divert money. So I really do think that results measurement is the way to go to handle this problem.
Thank you for helping us to better understand the issues that the Global Fund is facing and their ways that they're working through them.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you.